Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Vice Admiral Conrad Lautenbacher, U.S. Navy retired, Undersecretary of Commerce for Oceans and Atmosphere, and Administrator of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And joining us in our conversation is Dion Rudnicki. Well, Admiral, the U.S. Ocean Commission released a report, an ocean blueprint for the 21st century, in September of 2004. The Bush administration answered that report in December 2004 with what is now known as the U.S. Ocean Action Plan. What's the federal action plan, and what does it mean for NOAA?
It's an extremely important document, and it hasn't received the type of publicity it should get. But remember, the last time we had a commission such as this, it actually came up with the idea of building a NOAA. And so I think when people look at what NOAA has done over the last 30 years, they can see the value of these commissions. So this response to the next this second commission report, I think will be very important for the next 30 years that we're looking at in terms of ocean management, ocean science, and our ability to use the oceans to improve our standard of living and our environment. This Ocean Action Plan really has a number of elements to it, but I want to mention probably the most significant and something that probably makes people's eyes glaze over, but it's important because it sets up for the first time an ocean policy governance system in the United States. Up until this point, ocean matters have been pigeonholed throughout a number of agencies in our government: NASA, NOAA, Navy, NSF, energy, agriculture. All these areas, interior, have some legislation. They have some empowerment to work on areas that either affect or are part of our oceans. This plan sets up a cabinet-level body called the Committee on Ocean Policy, working for an advisor who reports directly to the president, such as Connie Rice, used to be the national security advisor, worked for the president. We now have Jim Conanton, who is the head of our environmental policy section in the government, a direct advisor of the president, who is in charge of a cabinet-level body to ensure that our ocean policies and our ocean programs are built in a consistent way, and that there is a highest level body that gets direct access to the president. That cannot be underestimated in our ability to affect the future.
What might be such an impact that somebody might see as a result of this governance? I understand the problem. It seems pretty clear as you describe, but now having this, what would be different?
I think that it's hard to say what will be different exactly, but you will see more coherent policies. We have a number of laws today that govern how we deal with endangered species, deal with Marine Mammal Protection Act, Marine Mammal Protection, and deal with fishing. They deal with outer continental uses of the outer continental shelf. They cross sometimes state borders and federal borders in the ocean. That series of laws that we have set up have been set up by individual committees in Congress and individual interest groups. They are in many cases, I won't say contradictory, but they do have issues of overlap and invasion of one's territory, you might say. We're going to see a way now for the federal government and Congress to be able to rationalize that series of laws that we work under in managing our oceans, and over the next decade or so, I believe we'll be able to rationalize them and build a much better system for ensuring sustainable development and usage of our ocean resources.
So, Admiral, how do you envision NOAA in the next 5 to 10 years?
This is a good question. I want to turn that around and say what you envision at NOAA is not what our organization is, but what do we want from the country? Our vision is that we want to have a nation that is more environmentally literate when it comes to our oceans and atmosphere. And so we have a population in the United States that understands the impact of what goes on in the environment around them, and that they have used that information to make the best social, economic, and environmental decisions. So what NOAA becomes in the next 5-10 years depends on being able to carry out that kind of a vision. And that's something that all of our employees feel very strongly about. It's something that originated in our workshops, and is working its way through our system at this point. So I see NOAA becoming more connected with the public. I see it becoming more integrated and more able to work on these large-scale challenges that are not only national but international.
So relative to the impact of being able to do that over the next 5 to 10 years, how do you foresee the challenges and overcoming the challenges to accomplish that?
I think it's going to take some very sort of fundamental work. First of all, education. We have to deal with educating our own workforce and looking at the education of the country and outreach. So K through 12 education is very important, college education, graduate education, and then continuing outreach to the public. So it's a very important component of what we do is to ensure that people understand the value of it and understand what it means to them personally. Education is extremely important. So we're going to have to educate, we're going to have to recruit, and then we're going to have to train people internally inside of NOAA to build the skills that are needed to mount large-scale problem-solving operations. It doesn't happen because you want to do it. It happens because you plan and you educate and you train and you measure what you do at the end, and that's what we'll be doing.
Regardless of the sector you've been in your career, public, private, or academic, you've been a public servant of some kind or another. And so I'm curious, reflecting on this long career, what advice you'd give to someone interested in a career in public service, perhaps even focusing in on science?
I always, when I'm talking to college audiences and younger, to ask people to consider public service as a career field. I think there are a great many benefits to it. The satisfaction of being able to deal with some of these larger issues, and the ability to serve one's fellow man and one fellow human beings, it brings a great deal of sense of personal satisfaction and personal empowerment. And so, while the chance for large monetary rewards are small, the chances for great psychic rewards are unlimited in public service. And so I encourage people to look at it, and I think there's many opportunities in science as well. Across the whole set of agents that we have, every one of them has a research branch or research laboratories that are working on the most urgent national problems that we have today. And this is an opportunity to get into well-equipped laboratories with Nobel Prize winners and other very dedicated people who spend their lives looking at advancing our knowledge for building a better future. That kind of satisfaction can only come from the public service kind of mentality, and I encourage people to look at it as a viable way to go.
Admiral, that'll have to be our last question. Dion and I want to thank you for squeezing us in your very busy schedule and joining us this morning.
Paul and Diana, I'm very, very pleased to be here. Thank you. I encourage people to go to our website. If you haven't been there already, NOAA.gov, www.noaa.gov. And many of the things I've talked about today can be found just burrowing into our website. You'll find it fascinating. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Admiral.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Vice Admiral Conrad Lautenbacher, U.S. Navy retired, the Undersecretary of Commerce for Oceans and Atmosphere, and Administrator of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and research and get a copy of the transcript of today's conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. For the Business of Government Radio Hour, I'm Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.